Mars is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Hour number two on this Friday, February 2nd, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us, as usual, in this second hour is Pastor Chatfield. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Pastor Chatfield, I want to deviate from the lesson plan discussion just a hair. Six Republican state senators, John DeMoose, one of them, my state senator, your state senator, did a press conference yesterday down in Lansing. They're proposing 10 bills to reinstate a lot of the laws that were on the books that the Republicans passed regarding teachers' evaluations, test scores, reading skills. They, the Democrats this past year, repealed the read by three, read by third grade law that basically scrapped the bill that never even got fully implemented because of the China virus. How do you, at your school, Northern Michigan Christian Academy, how does your kids do? Are they required, let me ask you this first question, are they required to take the M-STEP test?
No. We don't. We don't do that. It costs us money that we're not going to spend because we don't have the money. But right. Our kids, in case this, I guess this is a little advertisement for Northern Michigan Christian Academy, are, especially in the elementary end, are way advanced compared to the public system. Virtually every time we get somebody that transfers from the public system, we find that they're a year or two behind and we have to take them from there. And we do. And we do take them from where they're at. But our is a big emphasis in our school on phonics, teaching children how to read, how to write, just basic fundamentals of education.
Yes. And if they were to take the M-STEP test, how do you think your third graders would do on those tests as far as grade level? Would they just barely be a third grade reading level, or would they be maybe fourth, maybe even fifth grade reading on those tests?
Yeah, I think they'd do very well. Now, let me just say one thing in defense of public schools or public school teachers. They get what is sent to them from home. If the child comes to kindergarten, first, second grade, and they've been somewhere, and the parents have not tried to teach them, don't work with them, just send them, put them on a bus to the school. I mean, you have to work with what you have to work with. So I'm not a huge fan of grading a teacher by how well the kids perform, especially in the lower grades. In other words, your third graders can't read. You must not be a good teacher. Well, that's not necessarily so. because that teacher has the raw materials that were sent to them from home. So I'm not a big fan of that. Now, I know I'm a conservative, and we emphasize education in our school, of course, obviously. But in the public system, you get sent kids, and then you you have to take them from where they're at. And one thing I always this happens to us at our school a lot. They'll come to our school, and then the parents will notice a drop in their grades. And they'll say, well, what are you guys doing wrong? Got to look at the grades. Well, here's the story. We have standards here, and they're not quite up to it.
Right.
And yep. You have to have some measure of objectivity to let parents know. But even when I found out, a lot of parents don't know or don't care. I hate to even say that.
Right. Well, once they're made aware of it and they realize there's a problem, maybe they can focus and help, you know, at home more to help get them up to speed faster.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. Short break. We'll be right back. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two. Let's get into the history lesson discussion you have for us today, sir.
Okay, did you get my text? I assume you
did. Yes, I did. Yes, sir.
Who was the man of the year so declared by Time Magazine in 1938.
1938. Let's see. I think the Olympics was hosted by Germany in 1936. By the way, have you seen that movie yet, Boys in the Boat?
No.
University of Washington got the gold. And that movie's about it. And they refused to shake the hand of Adolf Hitler. And it made news media at the time. It was a big story how the Americans snubbed Hitler. But so if that was 36 Olympics, I'm going to say it was Hitler for 1938.
It was Adolf Hitler, man of the year.
Ah, good guess. Okay. I did not know that.
Okay. So now here's, let me just start with that, I suppose. We look back at Hitler now as a, and I appreciate Hitler because now we have a guy that we can all say was bad. He's virtually the only man in the 20th. He's probably the most important person figure in the 20th century, too, for that matter.
Sure.
And at least now we're still calling some people bad. He was bad. He was a bad guy, an evil person. Now, that said, there's a lot of nuance in Hitler, and continues to be in just a fascination with Adolf Hitler. And there is with me. I mean, that's why I read books, and I probably spent 20 hours in the last month kind of reading, watching about Hitler again and again and again. I've done it over and over and over. How did that ever happen? How did that happen?
Right.
How could Germany see this? Well, there are so many angles to come on this. Let me start by saying this. Remember this, that Germany didn't become a nation until 1870. Before that, there was the German Confederation of German states, Bavaria, Prussia, Saxony, and a bunch of smaller ones that were kind of confederated, but they weren't a nation. And remember also that there were a lot of people living around Europe at the time, and still is this way today. You can go to Austria, and you'll run into somebody speaking German, and you'll run into somebody speaking Hungarian, and you'll run into somebody speaking Romanian. I mean, the Europeans are multilingual, way more than we are. And borders have come and gone forever. So it wasn't until 1870, Otto von Bismarck kind of united Germany, and there was a rise in German nationalism. They won the Franco-Prussian War, the German War. The Germans fought the French. They won. And Germany was really starting to say, hey, we are a great country. We want to be a great country. Adolf Hitler was actually born in Austria in April of 1889. He was an Austrian. But within Austria, Austria is a German-speaking country. But there were some people that were identified themselves as German, and Hitler was one of them. And there's others, like Sound and Music, the Von Trapps, that identified themselves as Austrian. And but Hitler did not like the Habsburg regime, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. He was a nationalist, and so he moved to Germany because he wanted to identify himself as a German, even though he wasn't born in Germany, and he was really and had a desire to be an artist, and he was kind of a strange young man growing up. His mother really loved him. His dad worked for the Austrian government and was very strict. I'm not going to get into all the psychology of exactly what happened, but he loved architecture. Hitler, he loved art. He went to Germany hoping to become a great artist, but he wasn't. Art critics say he could do buildings fairly well, but he could never do faces and human beings well. So he just didn't make it as an artist. By 1909, he was living in a homeless shelter in Vienna, Austria. In 1913, after he got inheritance from his dad, he was living in a men's dormitory in Munich, Germany. So he was a nobody growing up, really a nobody. He had this strong German nationalism. World War One breaks out in 1914, and he somehow, even though he's an Austrian, he joins the German army in Bavaria, and he fights for the Germans during World War One. He was a runner, which means he carried messages, and he was, I think he no doubt was a brave, to some measure, really brave. He won two medals. The Iron Cross second class and the Iron Cross first class, which the Germans had, like everybody else, some sort of medal. And he was pro-Germany, pro-German. All of you know that there was a ceasefire in 1918, in November of 1918, where the Germans, they thought they could win the war. The Russians had pulled out of the war because of the Russian Empire, and they threw all their men on the Western Front. They thought that they could win the war before the full force of America could be felt, because we joined the war in 1917, and Germans thought that they could win the war. They were within 60 miles of Paris, but when fresh troops from America were thrown up on the front lines by the hundreds of thousands, they sued for peace. They wanted a ceasefire, is what they wanted. In 1918, in November of 1918. And they thought, the Germans thought, and get this, and even Winston Churchill says this, the way the Germans were treated after World War One was really not good. You can't win a war and then smash somebody's face into the dirt and make them eat dirt without expecting them to resent it. When the Germans sued for a ceasefire, they thought that they were going to get... It was a ceasefire. They didn't view it as, oh, we unconditionally surrender. And but at the Treaty of Versailles, 1919, when you had the Wilson went over there, and leaders George from England and from Italy and from France, they put it on the Germans, and it was, you know, and I'm not German at all, but it was too much, way too much. There was a couple of things. First of all, they required Germany to make reparations for all the war of World War One, which was impossible. They couldn't come up with all that money. And secondly, they had to take the war guilt clause. In other words, they had to accept total responsibility for World War One. And when we look at the beginning of World War One, it's nuanced. It's who was responsible for this? There was a series of alliances built up in Germany. The Germans were aligned with the Austrian-Hungarians and the Turks and the French, the English, and the Russians were aligned. And there were smaller countries were aligned with those bigger countries. And so all it would take would be one small spark in this powder keg, which was Europe before World War One, would go off, and it did. The assassination of Archduke Ferdinand of who was the heir to the Austrian throne by a Serbian dissident. And boom, everybody started declaring war on each other. It's hard to just look at this and say this was all Germany's fault, the beginning of World War One. But when you lose a war, I guess you pay a price. But again, Germany thought that it was way too harsh. They had the war guilt clause and the massive reparations. And then the West imposed upon them, the victors, a Republican form of government called the Weimar Republic. The Germans had never practiced Republican form of government. They didn't know about this, and it was imposed upon them, and they couldn't handle it. In the end, they couldn't handle it. They did not know how to operate a Republican form of government. You can't just go into a country that's had autocratic leadership and say, okay, now you guys are going to learn how to vote and so on and so forth. In my view, it's the same mistake we made with Iraq 70, however many years later, 80, 90 years later. Same. You can't go into Iraq after the Iraqi wars. Okay, now you guys are going to learn how to vote and accept the results of elections and be good.
Constitutions and understanding, parliamentary procedures, motion seconds and discussion votes and passing bills, sending it to a president to sign. They don't get it, Pastor Jeffield. They've never, ever been able to sustain it.
That's right. And Winston Churchill said as much. He said the Wests, including the United States, are – love of Republican form of government clouded our vision. that they didn't, the Germans didn't know how to operate that. So you had this Weimar Republic, and it went somewhat well in the 1920s, and they started to do well. But when the stock market crashed, Black Tuesday, 1929, in October, when the United States, who was really helping Germany, when this happened, we couldn't help them anymore, and their economy completely collapsed. It was like 35% unemployment rate in Germany when the Depression hit Germany, and there was just upheaval. And there were people like Hitler that were very bitter about the Treaty of Versailles and thought it, almost all Germans were, of all parties, they thought it was way too harsh, but especially the right-wing parties, the strong nationalist parties, they thought it was terrible. Now, originally, Hitler was sent by the army to start to a beer hall, and there was this small German workers' party, which later became the German National Social Workers Party, the Nazi Party, that he was sent to kind of spy on and evaluate. But then when he started hearing these people speak, he found out that he agreed with them. And when he spoke, he noticed, we're talking about in the, now we're talking about in the 1920s, early 1920s. Boy, people listened to him. He had a gift of oratory and was able to speak. And there were and people that listened to Hitler could see that. One of his first guys that heard him was Rudolf Hess, who, it's a long story about Rudolf Hess. But anyway, I mean, he started to get followers, and he began to work his way up in the Nazi Party. Originally, he was just a propaganda guy, but eventually he started to believe that he was the man. He had this strange notion of this Messiah complex, this idea that I was ordained of God to deliver Germany, the superior race. And there were lots of terrible philosophies that he held to, social Darwinism. And he believed that the German race was the superior race. We're the Aryan race, which in reality, not even Aryan. They weren't from India or whatever. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Germans, and he wasn't blonde-haired nor blue-eyed. But,
right.
but he had this racist, truly a racist ideology that race is so important, and our race has evolved. And there's some races are good, the Germans especially. And he had some respect for the English, less for the French, less yet for the Slavic nations. And of course, he began to buy into that the worst race of all were the Jews. These Jews, these terrible Jews, they're the ones that caused us to lose World War I. And
right.
he bought into all that purely racist thinking.
Do you know where that came from?
Oh boy, I read a book when I was studied this. I took and I there was, but I can't grab his name off the top of my head. But there were a lot of people that were racist. But
no. Hitler's hatred for the Jews. Mr. Goyke taught us at Eisenhower High School that Hitler was a inspiring artist, and in Paris, France, all of the art critics were Jews. They were all Jewish, every single one in Paris, France, that were the graders of the time for any artist were Jews. And they thought Hitler was a joke of an artist. And they told the public that he couldn't sell anything.
Maybe so.
Short break. Bottom of the hour news. We'll be right back.